love.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline. With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew is a board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist. Tonight, from The Contender, this is my favorite show, Drew.
I know that.
Do you know that?
I do. I know that.
Ishe Smith is here tonight. Now, it is Ishe, right?
Yeah, correct.
Ishe, because boxers don't always pronounce names that well, and sometimes the other guys in the contender house would call him like Ish.
Huh.
But I guess you can we call. Is that, do people call you Ish for short?
Yeah, Ishe.
Actually, Ann called NBC to try to make sure we got the pronunciation correct. They told her it's Ishe.
Ishe.
I know Ishe.
Yeah, that's really what it is.
This contender. Here's the thing with the contender. It's on Sunday nights. It's Mark Burnett.
Has to be good.
Everything the guy touches turns to gold. The Apprentice is a great show. Survivor's a great show. And now The Contender
Is
a great show. I haven't seen Casino, so I don't know if that's good or not.
It's not doing well, but it might still be a good show.
Anderson, what point are you making?
I was just asking.
Don't ask.
Okay. Gotcha. We need the guests turned up a little.
All right.
There. I feel better now.
Get the feeling Anderson is on like sort of a constant mission to undermine. That's his thing.
Not undermine anybody.
Well, everyone.
No,
oh,
you.
And me. Yeah,
you especially.
Which is fine if you don't want to get anywhere in life and you want everyone to hate you. But it's horrible radio whenever the boss is making a point. You have to always sort of bring up other little contrary, little knickknacks and tidbits. That's my rant. Yeah. Drew, please. Am I right? That's what I rant.
You're right,
to.
But Adam.
Yes.
It takes all kinds.
It does take all kinds.
Yes, Ishe, sir, Ms. Carolla.
Thank you. Ishe fought a epic battle with Sergio the Latin Snake, which is a solid nickname, by the way, for a fighter, and was off, was it the week before last?
It was last week.
It was last week.
Last episode.
Yeah.
When did they film all that?
September. We ended in October. We wrapped up in October.
I think everyone was, if I can read the terrain right, everyone was out in Pasadena, Drew's hood.
Yeah, wow. Correct.
Where were you?
Yeah, we were by Del Mar. We were in Del Mar and...
On a building?
Yeah, in an old warehouse.
Oh,
they
yeah.
They refurnished it and redid it for us, so yeah. It was real nice.
Yeah, it was real upscale stuff. And then they brought all the families out, and they housed them in Pasadena as well.
Huh, interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, see, now Drew's up for it. The fights have been competitive, all of them, as far as I can tell. I mean, and the way they edit it, at least, the underdog seems to win almost every time. Is that true?
Well, you know, Marv Burnett is great, and he edits the fights the way he wants to edit it to bring the suspense to television, but some of the fights weren't as close as they were on,
right.
I mean, on TV.
Right.
Like me and Ahmed's fight wasn't that close how they made it seem to be. And, you know, that's just a part of TV, and you got to take it the good with the bad.
Right. Now, Ahmed was the first fight. Mm-hmm. He's like babyface. Mm. He was the guy everyone hated because a Middle Eastern guy with a lot of bravado. Mm. And he got in everyone's grill. Him and Ishe were going at it. A lot of bad blood.
Mm-hmm.
Psychological warfare.
Ishe took care of business.
Yeah. And they got rid of him. Ishe beat the guy up, and it looked fairly close, but it definitely looked like you got the better of him when it came. So far, no bad decisions in terms of. Drew, you have TB? What's up, brother? What do you got over
there? First time I sneezed.
Oh, okay. Here's maybe allergic to yourself. Here's
don't sneeze except when I'm in a room with you.
Have there been any bad calls in your mind so far?
I would like to say, you know, me and Sergio's was a pretty, you know, controversial
fight. It was close.
Split decision.
Yeah.
You know, and they did things that I wouldn't say I was pleased with. All the fights that you announced, TKO, unanimous decision, you know, and then they get to my fight and they just say, winner, Sergio Mora.
Yeah,
they don't say what if they won unanimous split or anything. So I wouldn't say I was a happy camper about that. I was a little upset about that, because if you're trying to get fans that like boxing, or you're trying to get people that don't know boxing, what better way than to show them what a split decision is, so next time when they see, they can go, oh, that's what Ishe got on the contender.
Ishe was considered the strongest of the elite six. How many people
eight.
Were left?
It was eight.
That mm-hmm. were left. Ishe was considered the man to beat.
Huh.
And just barely got beat. But it's really it's really weird, because in most of the time in professional fighting, you got a pretty good idea who's going to win the fight before the fight starts. For the most part, these are guys from all over the country with various records, various experience. Everyone seems to rise to the occasion, and even though some guys are 24-1 or 18-0, they're going up against guys that are 6-0 or something like that. Sometimes the underdog is winning the fight. Oftentimes it is. What is your record now, Ishe?
It is 15-1 now.
So you get now that one loss against Sergio counts. It's a sanctioned fight.
It's on my record. And, you know, it's just they told me to keep my head up, and, you know, one day it'll be a rematch. And, you know, Mark Burnett has never lied to us, and they've always treated us good, and I'm holding on to that.
Yeah, you know? The big fight is now, you know, well, actually, you don't know. How much do you know that we don't know, that you can't talk about, that's bad radio?
What do you think I know that you don't know?
Well,
all the way up to the winner. You probably know everything, but
no, because I'm trying to think, because you get sent packing when you lose.
But they probably still kept around. No,
no, yeah.
No. We were put in isolation.
Oh, so
we had to make little calls and, you know, pry our way to get the winner. So I know everybody.
Well, they found out.
I know everybody who's won up to the finale. I know who's in the finale.
You know who's in the finale. Are you surprised?
Yeah.
You are.
It's a little surprising. Right. I think it's going to be a terrific fight.
And is it tough? Do you think you could have beat either one of those guys?
Oh, yeah. they played a lot of mind games with the last episode. I was thinking I was going to fight Jesse Brinkley, and, you know, he threw a little wrench into everything. And they played a little mind games with me because they were a little intimidated by me, and I just wasn't ready for the apprentice/survivor tactics. I was just ready to fight. I wasn't ready to play all the mind games they were playing.
I'll tell you, Drew... please listen to me. This is a great show.
You'll
be standing and cheering at the end.
I have no doubt.
It's Mark Burnett.
Yes.
Here's the thing. Here's what I tell everybody with shows like this. It's like, look, where they go, well, what's the big deal about the contender? Or why do you watch Survivor or The Apprentice? Or why should I watch a contender? I'll tell you why. Because all these other shows, it's the same thing. It's the jockeying, the mind game, the getting in the other guy's head, the conflict, the tension. But at the end, they make a presentation of some homo on Madison Avenue, and the winner gets to stay. Right. No, at the end of this, they beat the crap out of each other. It's not a kayaking competition at the very end. They beat each other up. So it's like, it's sort of what all these other shows are supposed to be.
The others are symbolically representative of a fight.
Symbolically.
This actually, they have the fight.
Yes, and they say, he kicked his ass in the boardroom.
Right.
I made him look like, I gave him a thrashing in the board, in front of the CEO. But this is actually, it's so satisfying to see the guy who's been talking or giving the other guy the stink eye the whole time. So when Ishe beat the Middle Eastern guy.
The guy that doesn't like America.
Babyface, not a big fan of America. And Ishe gave him a good ass whooping after the guy was talking smack the entire episode. It was so satisfying. It's not as, even though it's good, it's not satisfying to see a guy go back to his law practice in Indiana with a bow tie. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
You get to watch him go at it.
I get you. I hear you.
Am I right, Michelle?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. She's a big fan.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Ishe, now you're going to go to the fight, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Well, what you guys are going to learn in a couple weeks, and what makes it interesting, that what Mark Burnett is doing is, like, with Survivor, you got one winner. Mm-hmm. With The Apprentice, you got one winner. With this show, is going to be five winners, because it's actually going to be five fights that night. So you're going to get to go to the contender website, contender.tv.yahoo.com, and vote on who you want to see fight. And number one will fight number two, three will fight four, and five will fight six.
Whoa.
So they put the little twist in everything. So it's going to be a great card. It's going to be a total of five fights. It's going to be the main event, the two that made it to the finals. It's going to be a bronze fight where the runners-ups in the final four, they will fight each other, and then it's going to be...
Has this been announced yet?
This has not been announced.
Are you supposed to talk about this?
Yeah, because...
Drew, are you supposed to be talking about what he's not supposed to be talking about?
I just want to make sure he gets up in trouble.
Hey. Will you shut up? You're so bad.
Called codependent, dude. I'm trying to make sure I get trouble.
I'm trying to plug myself.
Oh,
you know?
God.
I'm trying to let the fans know in about another week or two they're going to have an opportunity to, you know, get to do some
stuff. Drew, just please. He does this all the time, you know. People start talking. They just start to tear up and talk about the serial abuse. And Drew's like, you don't have to talk about it if you don't.
Stop giving
people out.
Here's the deal. I was trained in something where you don't allow people to do harm through your show. If he's going to harm himself by talking about something.
What about the joy he could bring to everyone else?
I understand the joy everyone else gets, but I have to protect him from harm.
My training is shut up. All right. Ishe. So let me get this straight now. I'm so distracted by Drew's inability to do radio. Turn that mic around. Are you sure you should be talking about this? Just listen. So there'll be the main event. That'll be whoever wins the fights.
Mm-hmm.
And then there'll be the sort of bronze fight. Yeah. Well, that'll be the two guys that didn't make it to the main. And then there'll be another fight that's voted on.
Three more fights.
So you'll be back fighting again.
It's up to the fans. Hopefully they appreciated what I did on the show.
You got to be in there.
And what do the winners of those three fights get?
And Marvin is throwing around a lot of cash, so it looks great for all of us.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So the winner is going to get $1 million.
Wow.
The guy he beats is going to get, I don't know. They never discussed that.
It's so strange. Stuff like this gets involved in a professional sport, and it can change the whole how the sport operates.
Yeah.
This could be a, you know, forget the heavyweight fights, forget the belts. Let's just go for the $1 million that Mark Burnett's offering.
Well,
you know?
Boxing is one of these things. It's always, you know, there's no season and it's all over the place. Yeah. And somebody needs to sort of pull it together and start giving it some structure like they do with other sports. I think a lot of people have trouble getting behind boxing because they're confused by it, because they can't keep track of everything. Some guy has a belt with by some sanctioning body you've never heard of. Things keep springing up all over the place. Bad calls, horrible, you know, hometown decisions. Maybe this is a way to just turn it into more like what other sports are, you know, a little more organized, a little more sanctioned. And you say a heavyweight, whatever. This, everyone's a middleweight. Am I correct?
No, everybody's at middleweight.
At a middleweight, and it's just a better division in terms of excitement, in terms of watching. Heavyweights would be some knockouts, but there'd be some guys up there with them man boobs just sort of lumbering
around. Yeah.
And the middleweight, these guys can all take a punch.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're really trading like crazy. I mean, it's just, it looks incredible.
Yeah, you get a lot of diversity in the middleweight division. You get Mexicans, whites, and blacks.
Right.
And you're in the heavyweights.
All Jews. Nothing but Jews. Just huge Jews. No room for the black man or the Mexicans if they could fight. Jews and Asians, mainly Jews and Korean guys in the heavyweight. I'm not saying a black man can't be heavyweight. I'm saying, where is he? You know what I mean? Yeah. I hear you, brother. I hear you. All right, let's take some phone calls, Drew. Oh, I'm going to be watching. What night is it? Is it May what?
May 24th. You got to come. You can't just come.
All right, you're right.
You got to.
Where is it?
It's
going to
be at Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas. You got to come, man.
May 24th. That's it.
Put that down.
I'm coming. I just wrote it, Drew.
I see it.
You'll not be there. Drew will come just to say to Mark, are you sure it's okay? You should be doing this. Is it all right?
Ishe was talking about this. I told him not to.
First off, two guys fighting. Are you insured? There's liability here. I'm saying let's take a day and think about it.
No, I have him in my locker room. He'll stop me. Are you sure you want to go through this?
Get
out of here.
Drew, yeah. Oh, who are we talking to? Paul?
Yeah.
Paul?
Yeah.
You're 23?
Yes, sir.
What's up?
Well, my question's for Drew, but if there's time, I'd love to ask. I got a million questions for you, Adam, but I'll hold off. But basically, I'm a first-year med student here at the U of A, and today in a physiology lecture, we're doing reproductive function. And they talked about contraception and that, and they got to the morning after
pill. Calling all nerds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know, for real. But anyway, so the morning after pill. And basically, the teacher was equating the morning after pill with RU486, which... is...
You understand they're very different.
Yeah, and I actually brought that up to her, but can I just read it? I went over my notes tonight, and it has it right in the notes, and it says that there's two types of morning after pills. One is the high-dose estrogen that promotes premature destruction of the corpus luteum, and the other one...
All right, hold on. True.
I got to hear what they said.
You do, but we don't.
All right, here's the deal.
Talk to the guy at home, for Christ's sake.
Paul, the mifepristone actually causes the implanted fetus to abort.
Okay? We already talked about this last night.
The high-dose progesterone, not estrogen. Mifepristone is a progesterone-blocking agent.
All right, Drew, I don't want to start the show with mifepristone and all that stuff. Yeah. We'll get back. Hold on a second. Paul.
Yo.
Just hang on to your wind-up beanie. And cool your pocket liner.
Yeah, all right, man.
Now, just hold on. Hold on a second. Hold on. Paul.
I'm holding.
Take that mechanical pencil and do that thing where you twist it up, make it come out, and then twist it back and make it do it. Do that about 25 times, and we'll come back to you, all right?
Right on.
All right, but this time, no reading from your textbook.
No?
No.
All right, while you're on hold, look these things up either online or in your textbook.
Right, and we'll get back with you. I like you, Paul, but I just don't want to get out of the gates with the, you know, ask Mr. Science. Michelle?
Yeah?
You're 21?
Yes.
Yes. Now, you're having sex with your 36-year-old therapist.
No.
What's happening?
Well, when I was 16, fell in love with my 34-year-old physical therapist.
Physical therapist. Oh,
wow.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm 21, but I mean, it went on. I mean, it lasted for like 3 or 4 months, and then he told me he met someone his own age, and I was so in love, infatuated.
What were you doing with him?
Having sex with him.
Oh, really? Well, listen, I'm not a physical therapist. Everyone has their own techniques in terms of getting a patient back on their feet. You know, I imagine there's some therapeutic.
Benefit to that. Michelle,
sure.
you got to report this guy.
That's what I'm calling about. But
you call the state board in wherever you're in Missouri. Call the licensing board. You can consult with an attorney if you want. The fact is, he will do this to other people. This is a person who's regularly interacting with people and taking advantage of his position.
Well, it went on. I mean, after I stopped physical therapy, I had to go a year later. And I saw him again, but I was still seeing him randomly, like when he had a girlfriend, and then...
I'm just saying...
That's different. He was cheating on his girlfriend.
Yeah, not only is it criminal for him, I imagine, in Missouri. You're 16. I'm not sure what the age of consent is there. But it's criminal, A, to start with. B, it's a profound ethical violation, and he really... His license should be taken away, frankly.
What were you recovering from at 15?
Knee surgery.
Now, it being so far away, it may not be possible to have this revoked, but if you report it, and there's some other reports out there, they'll definitely they'll scrutinize him very carefully. It will help you.
Therapist, and it's like, it would probably be kind of, I mean, I'm on freaking radio right now, but I've been trying to figure out if I should or not, and I didn't know if I was just, I'm angry or what, or
Michelle,
if it's right
Michelle,
or wrong.
Yeah, you should.
Michelle, you have an obligation to do this, and it will help you resolve this thing. Because you'll be taking action on your own behalf. You were exploited. Somebody in a position of authority exploited you. And B, you'll protect other people he may yet exploit.
All right, let me just do the math. You started having sex with him when you were 16?
Yes. Yeah.
And he was 30-something?
34.
And this went on for some months, and then he broke it off because he met someone. But he continued sort of chipping
really
away.
Yeah, he didn't break off. He told me that he had met someone... his own age. I mean, all along he was telling me that we would eventually meet someone our own age and yada, yada, yada. But, I mean, I was 16.
Okay.
And, I mean...
You're 21 now.
Yeah.
Now you can see how awful this was, right? You
now
see
I
how ridiculous.
Can, but it took me until like a year ago, and that's after finding... I mean, I also found out that he's now engaged to someone like 2 years older than me, so...
How's the knee, by the way?
Not too well.
Oh, really?
What do you got? What happened?
What'd you do to your knee that you need to go to physical therapy at 15?
ACL reconstruction. And
What'd you do to it?
Skiing. Soccer.
Yeah.
Really? Do you need to go to physical therapy when you do that?
Yeah, you should.
Really?
Yeah.
I had knee surgery.
Knee
I didn't do anything.
Yeah.
You know what I did when I blew my knee out?
Ran home?
No. Yeah, well, no, I walked home. Moved a booth to the second floor of my apartment in North Hollywood.
Nice.
It was awesome.
A bar, you mean?
a whole booth bar thing that was on. Oh, God. You know, guys are so horrible. I blew Ishay when I was like 20. I was playing pickup football and I dislocated my knee. Now, at the time, I just thought I twisted it or whatever, but later on, I had to have surgery on it. I got home that night limping, and I said, oh, man, I really blew out my knee. I gotta get off it. And my roommate was like, we're going to the Blah Blah Cafe tonight in the back alley. They got a big vinyl booth back there. We got to get it. And I said, my knee's killing me. I could barely, oh, come on, pussy, let's go.
Yeah.
And I was like, cut to a half hour later, me on the bottom end of a 12-foot-long restaurant booth trying to shove it up a flight of stairs.
Nice.
Yelling, my knee's killing me. And he's going, come on, push.
Ray. It's got to be Ray.
Yeah, it was Ray. It was Ray and Donnie. We had to take, the booth was so big, we had to take the front door off the apartment, swing it out over the balcony, and then take it apart. It was plywood and stuff. Point is next day I wake up, my knee's the size of cassava melon, and I have to get surgery out.
Oh,
like,
nice.
How many guys, the night before, you know, after the injury, before the surgery, move heavy equipment up to the second floor of their
because
apartment?
Because their friends are kicking their ass.
Right. Yeah. Now, women would be like, oh, sweetie, are you okay? Oh,
can I bring you some tea?
Sit down. You should put ice on it. We should get that x-ray. The guy's like, come on, pusso. You're not getting out of this, your fake injury. Get in the van. I mean, maybe I wouldn't have needed the surgery, actually, right. If I'd actually elevated it and put some ice on it. Instead, I moved a booth.
Nice.
Yeah. I guess it, you know, like could have been a player piano or something. So maybe I dodged a bullet.
Oh, yeah.
Daniel?
Yeah.
You're 16?
No. I'm 13.
You're 13?
Wow.
Oh, okay. All right.
Here you go.
Hi.
Hey.
Do I have to say my question right now?
Just do it!
No, you can just sit there. Yeah.
Let's see. Ah, here we go. Born gay versus gay. Dylan?
Yeah.
You're 17?
That's right.
What's up?
Okay, I have a couple friends that are gay.
Mm-hmm.
One of them was actually, I guess he says he was born gay, but mm-hmm. the others discovered it later in their life. I was wondering, what brought them to discover that? Is it something emotional that happened? Is it something psychological? Or is it just like a physical element that happened to their
life? Adam, you can answer that now. You've heard this question enough times.
Well, here's what I want to say. Most people that are gay say they knew they were gay, you know, from the time they were little kids.
Yeah.
Most.
Yet, though, a lot of those people knew it only after they were sexually abused.
Right, right. Now, I don't know what the percentages are, but from doing this show, it seems that a certain percentage of people are just gay.
Born that way.
Just slide out into the planet gay.
Yep.
And then another percentage is done up in the... molested by an uncle in the basement or something like that. And then, what the hell are you doing?
Getting the pie ready.
Oh, okay. All right. Isha's in training, by the way. Can't be eating pie. All right. Now,
No, he's going to eat pie. Don't worry.
But I don't know what the answer. What answer do you want?
The answer is that there is both. That there are people that you must have some sort of genetic predisposition, really. Like with any human behavior, there's always a combination of nurture, nature. There's some genetic component. But in the people that call this show, almost exclusively, we hear about people who are sexually abused and then have a sexual orientation change.
Right.
And that's just the way it is. They aren't going to unchange that. And certainly there also are a significant percentage are merely born with that orientation. And that's that.
Ishay.
So it's both.
Wouldn't it be like gay dogs if it was like in the DNA and like gay birds?
Well, there are gay animals. There are.
Oh, this thing on killer whales almost threw up.
Yeah.
Big boners rubbing on each other. Dudes. I don't need to see that in nature, by the way. You know what I mean? That's one of the last pristine things in my mind is like killer whales. And then you see them having a weird Turkish bath together. I was watching a nature channel and they showed male killer whales with big erect whale penises rubbing and rolling on each other and stuff.
The way you describe it, I think it sounds like you enjoyed it.
No.
Dude, it's a little bit.
I was intrigued.
Cathartic.
I was intrigued. I had a glass of wine, Drew. I got to tell you, my guard was down. No, there is a certain amount of this in nature. I don't know.
Yes.
Dogs?
No, well, no. Dogs, although I think my dog's a lesbian.
But there are...
Loves my wine.
One of the things that I long ago read is that when you restrict populations to overpopulate, you tend to see gay sort of orientation come up.
But why when you become gay, you got to pick up the gay tendencies.
Why have you been gay whole life?
Not all gay men do that, but you're right. That's the question. Well, why do they sound that way?
Why do they sound that way? Yeah. Why do they walk like women? Why do they...
Here's what I believe. I believe the speech is from the constant pounding, the soft pound it takes from the male penis. It changes to it. You would talk...
Please.
Ishii, I mean this with respect because I've seen what you can do in the ring, but you would talk different, too, if you constantly had a penis whacking into the soft palate above, just above,
wait,
you know, above the mouth
there.
You'd
have like a nasally drop. Oh, no, wait a minute.
How dare you. Ishii, bust him up. Work the body. The face we need to save. It's the cash register. All right. So, I don't know. But there are certain... There seems to be some homosexuality in nature, too.
Yes.
No one knew about it, except for the gays started looking for it recently and then pointing to the animal population for...
What gay animals are there?
Well, there's monkeys that seem to have a certain percentage of them.
Yeah.
But in terms of the population, and then you ask, well, you know, why do you got to talk that way? Why do you got to walk that way? I think there's that... is in every population. Like the NASCAR populace talks and walks a certain way, the rap community, the gay community, the Jewish community, the lawyers, doctors, you know, construction workers, Boston
so the
fans.
Experience makes you change.
Yeah, think
and then
about,
you're around your peers.
Well, then
people
it's
are
like
also
think
changed.
About Sox fans, yeah, Red yeah. Sox fans. Yeah. That seem like the same obnoxious dude named Sully, right?
Yeah.
It's all the same guy.
Oof.
And then there's the sort of vegan, educated, Ivy League sort of, you know...
Wiccans.
You know, everyone's sort of...
You compare Sox fans to gay men?
I'm just saying, once you congregate
you look like what
with
you
a
are.
Group,
yeah.
and then you start talking and walking the same way.
Mm.
Yeah.
Interesting. And right. whatever it is about that action... Michelle, you got an opinion on this one?
No.
But you also have the gay hip hop man now too.
Yeah,
it looks like a thug and acts like a thug,
but
he's gay.
Do you?
Yeah, you're getting that a lot nowadays.
Really?
He's gay or he has sex with men? Because
he's
different
gay.
Thing. Yeah.
He's gay, but he's sort of...
He's like a hip-hop thug, gay
ooh,
type guy.
Ooh,
like
let me tell you, if Suge Knight came after me, I was going to... Like, here's what I'd be
bear,
like...
Bear.
Here's what I'd be
bear
like, listen, I'm not going to fight. I'm not going to scratch. Just go get the lube.
Get this over
and get a bottle of booze, and let's just get this over with. I don't want anyone to get ugly here.
I saw a documentary on gangs that were gay. Gangsters, yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's changing.
It's called the musical theater. We'll take ourselves a... Drew was in one of those gangs. He ran. That was his posse. We'll take ourselves a little break. EJ Smith is here tonight for my favorite show, The Contender, Sunday nights on NBC, 8 o'clock. I've not missed one second of one episode yet. Ishii, one of the stars of the show who was...
You missed an hour, but
just,
not a second.
Just barely eliminated last week by the Latin snake. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Ishii Smith is here tonight. He was one of the best ones on The Contender, my favorite show, Sunday nights, NBC, 8 o'clock. And he was just barely eliminated by Sergio, who's another guy I like. The Latin snake who did, they had a epic battle last week, and Sergio just nipped Ishii, and now he's here in studio tonight. How did the process go in terms of finding you and finding fighters for the show? Because everyone is so evenly matched, and it just seems the chemistry, not because it's all good, by the way, but it's all good for TV, is so strong.
Oh, we had the tryout test. Psychological test, and that was like the best part for me of everything. Like having somebody, you answer like 200 questions, and you're like, "This is crap." Mm-hmm. And you just start filling out these questions, but they tell you to tell the truth mm-hmm. in the questions because the guy are going to tell you like what you do, what kind of person you are, and all that type of stuff. And we did that, and I go in there, and this guy's telling me what type of guy I am. And that was to me, that was amazing. I just had 200 questions, and that was fun, and the sparring, and just the stories. And they mm-hmm. wanted to get really good fighters, so mm-hmm. That's what made our show so much better than Oscar De La Hoya's show. We got real fighters, real talented fighters.
Yeah, the thing about The Next Great Champ, which I watched too, which had almost no success, is it really was the same show in the sense that, well, you get a bunch of boxers together, they fight, they eliminate guys, they have a challenge, and then it builds up to a big fight at the end. You just couldn't have cared less.
just the way it's filmed or edited?
Well, you know, it's the, you know, if you think about what's really good about the reality TV, it's all in how it's put together, people that are chosen and put together. Yeah. You know, I mean, if you take a
how the stories are told.
Think about how bad Survivor could be, or think about how bad The Apprentice could be if it wasn't scored.
Yeah.
I mean, Mark Burnett scores things. Yeah, you know, the score is dramatic in it. The music adds so much to it. Just the editing, the storytelling, it's so compelling. If you don't have that, you just have an idea. It's all in the execution. And, you know, Drew, we have these meetings all the time where we talk to idiots, and they're like, everyone gets hung up on the hook. What's the hook? What's this? What's that? It's how it's executed. You take the Next Great Champ, which was some of you haven't even heard of because it just sort of came and went about 4 or 5 months ago, and you have The Contender. Really, on paper, the exact same show.
Right.
Just take fighters, take middleweights, put them in the same house, eliminate a guy. I mean, it just it looks like exact. One is dramatically better than the other. Why? The people.
Yeah.
The people who are putting, assembling it and creating it.
Yep, got it.
How's Sugar Ray doing?
Oh, Sugar Ray's good. He's awesome. And, you know, what's good about our show is everybody still talks. And me and Sergio talk about our fight, and I say, you just barely slithered away, you little snake. I tell him that. And we're still friends. I mean, it was just a close fight. And, you know, Sugar Ray's great, and Sly was cool to be around. They're just a bunch of great people.
Sly and Sugar Ray. First off, Sugar Ray is, I don't know, 45 and still moving in the ring and looking sharp.
Wow.
Sly is, I don't know, 57 or something, and a little Grecian formula on him. But every time you see the guy, he just looks like he rattled off 30 push-ups before he got on the camera. But it's just big veins in his arms and no waist, and he's got to be on the juice. But, I mean, it's like the picture of Dorian Gray. I mean, the guy is near 60 and looks like he just beat that crap out of anyone in the room.
Wow.
Am I right? He looked in amazing shape.
You know, you just surprised me. I didn't even know he was close to 60. That's amazing.
Find out how old Sylvester Stallone is. He is he's 55 if he's a day, and he's tan. His hair's jet black, and he's got guns like Mark Gassineau had in 1990. It's crazy.
Wow.
All right. Joseph.
Hey guys.
You're 18.
I am.
What's up?
Huge fan of both shows, and I've always been interested in boxing, and I wanted to know how you get into the sport and where you go to learn to box.
I think the best thing you could do is try to figure out what's in your local hometown, look in the phone book, find a club, and just go down there and talk to some people and just tell them you're interested and see how much it costs, and just go from there. That's the
take
best
lessons,
way to figure
right?
it out. Yeah, just take lessons and just contact your local club and look in the phone book. And that's the easiest way to do it.
He's calling from Arizona. He's probably...
Oh, yeah, it's a lot of clubs in there. What part of Arizona are you from?
I'm from Chandler. It's a suburb of Phoenix.
Oh, yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah, Chandler, home of champions.
Mike Tyson trains out there a lot in Arizona.
Yeah, all the great ones train out in Arizona.
Chandler.
Yeah. Listen, Joseph, but here's what you should do. You should learn how to do it, and then... You know, just don't sit and have bad form walloping the heavy bag with the inside of your palms. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because if you leave a guy alone, you'll just turn around and come back. He'll be dry humping a speed bag. Horrible form. I tried to show Drew a little form once. He still hasn't forgiven me.
No, I loved it, but my neck, it blew out a disc or something.
Yeah, Drew's never been right.
I lift my hand up ever since.
Yeah, ever since I tried to teach him to box, he sort of walks. When he walks forward, he drifts to the left.
Well,
I have to straighten him out when we're in the airport. Otherwise, he'll run into something.
But, Joseph, are you there?
Yeah.
But do not, boxing is a very serious and dangerous sport. Do not get in the ring by any means. I wouldn't encourage you to get in the ring because you can get hurt.
Right.
I would encourage you to learn as much as possible and try to learn a lot. I've been boxing since I was 9 years old, so I definitely wouldn't encourage you just to go in there and think, since you love it, to get in the ring and want to spar somebody. It's very dangerous, and I would definitely practice a lot and get lessons before you even decide to even step foot in that ring and spar with somebody, because they will take advantage of you in there.
Right.
Thinking about the your knee surgery and boxing, I remember the story where Adam beat up 12 guys, however the story went, and they took a baseball bat to your knee just after surgery.
Yeah.
You beat up 12
how
guys?
Many guys?
No, I didn't
Six
beat
guys?
Up. I didn't beat up. I was at a makeout party.
A makeout party?
Yeah.
What is that?
Well, I had my knee surgery.
Yeah.
I still had stitches in my knee from my arthroscopic knee surgery. Right. It was about 2 days later, maybe 3 days later. Somebody's parents left town, so we're up at their house taking advantage of the house.
Right.
And it was one of those things where there's five chicks and five dudes.
Ah, makeup party.
Yeah. Four of the chicks were hot, and then there was my chick. My chick was ugly and crazy. All right? And by the end of the night, all four dudes had paired off with their hot chicks and gone to separate parts of the house, leaving me to watch ESPN alone in the den. My nutty chick was just too nutty for me, and she wasn't very good-looking, so I decided to call the night and head out. As I was heading out of her house, a bunch of guys were coming up the stairs, like had heard there was a party or something, too. They were like, I wouldn't call them gangbangers, but they're the Valley equivalent, troublemakers,
true,
you know?
True.
And they came right up the hill. Yeah, all Jewish guys. No, this is Mexican guys and black guys all coming up the thing. And I was walking out, I was walking past them. The chick said the guy hit me. She said, I hit her. Because she was pissed
Amazing.
Off. She was pissed off because I didn't want to make out with her. I just want to go home. She was nutty and ugly.
Wow. True story?
And ugly. Yeah. So the lead guy, he's like, you hit her, man? And I was like, nah, I didn't hit her. And he kept going because he wanted to fight, you know? And I was like, I don't need any trouble. And then I told him, look, you know, I said, I would fight. I would go out and beat your ass right now. Oh. But I got knee surgery. I still got stitches in my knee. I can't do it. The doctor says no fighting. No street fighting for at least a week. So he's like, and then he said to me, I'm going to break your other knee. And I said, all right, it's on now. Because I was probably drunk, too. So
imagine that.
Now here's the stupid part. I said to everybody, all right, now you got all your gang with you. Now, my gang is having sex. But you guys, you're his gang. All right, but here's the deal. This guy, he was a big guy. He was a scary-looking guy. So he's going to have no problem with me, right? So you guys have to stay out of it. You just give us some room. You stay out of it. So we went out in the street, and we squared off like it was kung fu. And I started beating him up. And I whacked him one time good, and he sort of fell back, and he wouldn't come back. Yeah. And then I started talking. You know, you got to finish what you start now. Come on now. You're just getting warmed up now. And about time that happened, I felt the baseball bat. Full swing with a baseball bat to the knee.
The surgery knee.
No, to the good knee.
Oh, well,
they didn't know which knee was the surgery knee.
He's going to break your other knee. Sorry.
Yeah, he did get the other knee, but he took a full swing and he caught it just above the knee in that sort of meaty part of the thigh, and it was about the best place you could get hit with a bat, because if he would have hit from the front, the kneecap, it would have been done. And so he hit me the bat right in the fatty part of the thigh, about 6 inches above my knee. It was a full swing, but didn't really hurt me. It just made me, like, curtsy. And then I said, who hit me with the bat? And then a beer bottle broke on me. The beer bottle was thrown, and it busted right on my shoulder. The glass didn't cut me, didn't do anything. Just boom, beer bottle broke.
What are you made of?
Yeah, I know.
Well, that's what it looked like. What do we got here?
It was really lucky. I was really lucky. It was just, you know, he hit me with a bat. He broke a beer bottle on me, and I was fine.
Yeah.
So I started yelling, you know who? And then they all piled on me. When they all piled on me, that's when a guy, like, split my lip and stuff like that. And then me and the other guy squared off. The guy hit me in the lip, and then the cop showed up, and everyone split. And then two good things came of this. One is I was looking for the guy who hit me with the bat for like 6 months, and about a year later, I was at a party.
Found him.
In a bathroom making out with a chick, rarely. New Year's party, and my buddy Ray found him and dragged him into the bathroom with us. Yeah.
Nice.
I was drunk and feeling sexy, and I let the guy go. But it was funny that my buddy actually caught him and dragged him to me. And then the other guy, the big Mexican guy, moved into my apartment. And I was standing out. This is 5 years later. I was out front selling my truck, and this big Mexican guy's moving in. Hey, neighbor, how you doing? And the guy goes, I know you from somewhere. And I said, I don't know where I know you from. And he's like, yeah, we know each other. But he was a big, scary Mexican guy. But I beat him up, so yeah. I had that thing going for me where he wasn't going to bother me. But he did eventually tell me that was it. Yeah. Yeah.
Good story.
Yeah, it worked out fine. I was fine. I said, well, split my lip, but the beer bottle busted. Beer bottle could have hit me in the ear and just made me deaf in one ear, but it broke right on my shoulder, and the bat could have hit me on the front of the knee and effed me up for real, but didn't do anything.
You're not human. You're made of rubber. You don't bleed.
Steel. Steel, not rubber.
Man of Steel.
Ishae Smith is here tonight from The Contender, my favorite show, NBC, Sunday nights, 8 o'clock. We'll, big finale coming up on the 24th in Las Vegas, $1 million. And we get online, we get Ishae in on some of that cash, too. We get him fighting. Mm. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Yeah. Loveline, that's what I'm talking about. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Ishae Smith is here tonight from The Contender, my absolute favorite show. Drew, start watching that Contender. I'm telling you, you'll be staying. Your wife will love it. My wife's into it.
I have no doubt. No, I mean,
yeah. Listen, you watch The Apprentice.
I know.
Would you listen?
I am listening.
All right, now listen, Angel.
Yes.
You're 21.
Yes.
What's up?
Well, I've been with my boyfriend for about 3.5 years now, mm-hmm. and we broke up for about 4 months, about 6 months ago, mm-hmm. and got back together, and in the past, I have had an interest in females and actually acted on that a couple times, mm-hmm. and lately, those feelings have been becoming a little bit stronger, and I'm having a hard time determining whether that's because I have more of an interest in women or because I'm just worried about the trust issue with him, us breaking up again.
You're asking for trouble when you name your kid Angel. That's so. Number one.
Yeah. Well, that's not my real name.
Oh, really? Yeah, but your real name's like Brandy.
Cammy?
No.
All right. So you want to know whether you should stay with your boyfriend or...
I understand your question.
Yeah.
Well, I was saying I'm having a hard time determining if I'm more attracted to women in general or if I'm being more drawn to them because I'm concerned about our relationship because I'm still not really trusting him yet.
Right, you're just, why aren't you going to other guys as a way of...
I don't know. That's what
all right. Well, here's the thing. You have intimacy issues, right?
Right.
Your dad's out of the picture. You don't want to get too close to a guy. So every time you get too close, you feel yourself getting too close, you sabotage the relationship, and
she's not sabotaging. He's leaving, and she's responding
to that. Where's he going?
To girls.
Where? Where's he going?
Where is he going?
Yeah. He's breaking up?
No. We broke up before. He came back.
He broke up. And right. It's a way of fear that he's going to leave again.
All right. Here's the thing. Here's my feeling about relationships when you're under 25.
Mm-hmm.
You break up with somebody, stay broken up with them.
Yeah.
You get back and then you break up again. It never works. It's right. Like those idiots who get remarried.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, they do that thing where they go, we got married for the first time in 1981. We got married for the second time in 88. And then third time in 92, and now I want to introduce you to my lady friend, Cammy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. Don't get married twice. Don't come back. Look, here's the thing. If you have 3 kids and you're 33 and you have a blowout and you break up and you live apart for 6 months, you can think about getting back together on behalf of the kids, making a family, all that kind of stuff. You have some history. You have something to reconstruct.
Yep.
When you're 21 and you break up with someone, it's at 19 or 21 or whatever, don't get back. No. That's it. It means something. Yeah. Move forward. Now, whether you're into women or men, I don't know.
Yeah, that's up to you. If you have a sexual abuse history and you have identity issues, that's one thing. If you are just retreating from men because you feel brutalized by this guy, that's another thing. Mm-hmm. If you're just lesbian, then you should be going for women. We don't know. That's in you.
Right. All right. Let's talk to... Oh, true. So repugnant, these calls. Ray?
Yeah.
You're 19?
Yep.
Your girlfriend says you taste bad?
Yeah, just recently. So I'm just wondering, what can I do? I've been getting a lot of mixed stuff from my friends.
I've never found anybody that really has anything reproducible that you can do.
Really?
I really never.
What about the pineapple juice?
Pineapple juice, I've heard all kinds of stuff, but I've never really... heard any beneficiaries of that, because if there really were something,
mm-hmm.
women everywhere would be demanding for it. You know what I'm saying? It really made a difference.
Yeah.
How do you taste bad?
How do you taste good?
Well, it means it's... hold on.
Does all of you taste bad?
No, Ishae. His man stuff.
His man his protein stuff, his, excrement.
Yeah. The stuff...
Male protein
the stuff Sly injects to keep that... keep that amazing physique. That's what we're talking about. The juice. You know what I'm saying? The nectar of the man. Yeah, that's how you taste bad. Hey, Ray.
I put him on hold.
Oh, okay.
Crazy phone.
Well, look, what do you want her to do? Put it on her ice cream? Just tell her, put it in her mouth, go spit it. Look, here's the thing. I haven't given this pep talk to women in a long time, but here's the thing. You do not have to ingest the stuff. Just transport it over to the toilet like a good person. Yes? That's what I mean, Drew. Here's what I'm saying.
So it usually was to the planter.
Once in a while, you take to the ficus tree that's by the side of the bed. Now you take a once in a while you stand in front of your refrigerator. You take
is that
a
the
sip.
Ficus is in your bedroom? Oh, for God's sake!
That's
sakes.
What the cactus is.
Oh,
the ficus is for number two.
Oh,
okay. When you're in front of your refrigerator, once in a while you take a chug of milk or orange juice or something that's gone bad, and you get that Now, you don't just spit it right back all over the fridge.
And you don't swallow it.
And you don't swallow it. You walk yourself over to the sink and you
spit it out.
And then you run a little water and you're all back to normal again. That's what the lady's got to do. The guy's, his balls went bad. Got to get to the sink. Look at it that way. That's
balls
right.
Turned.
They turn. We will take ourselves a little break. Ishe Smith is here tonight from The Contender. Best show on TV. Best. 8 o'clock, NBC, Sunday night. Soon you'll be going online and getting Ishe in on a couple of these bucks on some of these fights that are going to be on the undercard of the big Caesars Palace fight on the 24th. Talk about that. Talk to him. Talk to you after this.
Best show on television.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Ishe Smith is here tonight from The Contender. Ishe was considered the one to beat until he got beat in The Contender. He won his first fight, which was a nice battle with Babyface, and then got bit by the Latin snake Sergio last week in a very, very close split decision battle. The big fight, and listen, I'm not BSing you people when I tell you most compelling show on TV. And here's my honest assessment of the show. The show looks great. It's Mark Burnett. It's cool to see Sugar Ray and Sylvester Stallone, and I'm starting to get to know all the characters, and all the guys seem like, with the exception of Babyface or whatever the guy's name who was praying to Allah, was got beat again. He's out again. Now, a couple guys got called back. One guy committed suicide after he left. Did you get to know him at all?
Yeah, he was close. That was very hard for all of us involved with the show.
What point of the show were you at when you found out that he'd committed suicide?
We were in the point of just waiting. And I think maybe...
Had he finished taping?
He finished taping, and we were just waiting for it to come out. They delayed it a couple times. And, you know, boxers like to fight. We think it's like... Some boxers think it's a way out, you know. Mm-hmm. They like to relieve their mind stresses, and he wasn't able to do that. And, you know, he maybe took his own life, and that's sad.
It was sad because they showed him with his kid, and, you know, everyone's got kids, and, you know, mama's crying and talking in Spanish, and everyone's praying. And it's really, by the time it gets down to the end, you're on your feet when that bell rings. I mean, it is exciting. All right, let's talk to Jeff, who's 23. He's a veteran of the Iraq War.
Yes, sir.
Jeff, what's up? Hold on. What branch are you in?
I'm in the Army, sir.
All right. Sir. I like the sir. Right. And are you still in the Army?
Yes, I'm in the reserves.
And what'd you do over there in Iraq?
I do water purification, actually.
Oh, see, that's me. I want to be in the rear with the gear, as they say.
Actually, no, when we first went, because I went when the war first started, we were with the 1st Push of Marines and, of course, the Army people. We were their water support.
Wow.
The Marines water support.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And when you guys won a battle, did you do that Gatorade dump, like on the general? That war, too, you know? No. General wins a big battle, big Gatorade dump, couple guys come up behind him. Awesome.
I probably wouldn't please the general too much.
I'm just saying, you know, you'd think the head coach wouldn't like it either, but it turns out. And here's the thing, Lombardi probably wouldn't have gone for it, you know what I mean? Right. Back in the day, just like
that big brown coat and the hat would have gotten ruined.
Yeah, cigar. Just like Patton probably wouldn't have gone for it. But this is today's Army. People are cooler. It's a lighter, fresher Army. It's a funner Army. You'd get a nice recruit and be a nice recruiting commercial, too. Yeah. All the guys just sneaking up, dumping the big Gatorade thing on the guy's head. All right. So, Jeff, you're back now?
Yes. Yes, I am.
All right.
Actually, my question was, my girlfriend, who I've been with for about 3.5 years, actually brought this up to me yesterday. She was cool about it, nice about it. She said that I don't last as long as I used to before I left, because we've been together, like, since way before I left. And she actually brought it up that I don't last as long, and I was like, what the hell are you talking about? Because I don't notice stuff like that. Like,
how have you been back?
Actually, I've been back for about a year, and she just brought it up. I'm like, you know, maybe she was looking for a time to say it, but she just told me yesterday. Like, and then, like, before it was like 10, 15 minutes max. Now she tells me, I mean, like, I guess she's timing me or whatever. You know, I mean, like, now it's like 5 or 6 minutes. She said, I was like, well, maybe it's just better sex, and she was like, no, and I was like, damn.
Don't ask. All right. Well, look. Look, you're sliding in your comfort zone, I think. You're getting into your rhythm.
Yeah.
You're not, you know, it's like, it's you're different between your first day at work and your, you know, 500th day at work. You know, you start showing up a little bit later, start taking a little longer lunch.
Right.
It's like anything you're
stealing supplies, you know?
Is this a problem for her?
She didn't say it was a problem. She just kind of brought it up to me. It was kind of a casual conversation with her. Like, I didn't get mad. She wasn't.
All right. Well, why don't you focus on it and see what you can do? But if not, give her a little more oral sex, because that's when you set the clock.
All right.
You know what I mean?
Think about baseball. That's what I do.
Boxing.
Yeah, think about boxing. Yeah. Are you watching the show, Jeff?
Oh, yeah, Contender. I have a TiVo'd.
Yeah, I TiVo the hell out of it, too.
I'm sorry you lost, man. You were one hell of a puncher, man.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
One day, man, like, seriously, Ishii, I could see you being the champ, man.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
It was, I'll tell you, you're nervous. You're nervous when the fights come in the show because you've been living with the guys. Guys' dads come back from the war. Another guy's got his kids there, and they're praying together. So by the time the bell rings at the end, you're actually on your feet, sort of walking around. You're pacing around a little bit.
Do you have a dance for this one?
I have a Survivor dance, which I did tonight.
Of course. I saw it. And the Contender dance?
You're a Contender dance?
Yeah.
Bouncing around, throwing punches in the air. Sure. Bathrobes, slippers.
You really are like a third grader when you watch TV, aren't
dog
you?
Dog looking at me like I'm insane. Why feeling move in front of the TV? Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Exciting.
Mm-hmm. Pacing around.
I have to watch this with you. I don't want to see it.
Yeah. Hello? Wait, watch out. You could get hit. I go nuts. Start breaking furniture and stuff. No, I get nervous. I start pacing around. You get nervous because you have, you know, if you think about it, when you watch a fight on television, you don't really know
the fighters. Yeah.
Most of the time, you just know. Like, last time you saw him on the news, one of his tigers mauled his neighbor's dog.
Right.
And he's being sued for palimony. That's about all you know about the dude. And you don't even really feel that much for the dude because it's like, he's getting $17.2 million for the fight if he gets knocked out in the second round. That's $17 million for 6 minutes worth of work. These guys, they ain't getting paid. You know them. Their families are there. It's that sort of lose or go home, you know, kind of thing. There's tension. Yeah. Michelle, am I right?
My sweaty palms and
sweaty
everything.
Sweaty palms, pacing around, throwing punches in the air.
Yeah.
Okay. True.
It's cool. That.
Yeah. Jennifer?
Yes.
26?
Mm-hmm.
What's up?
Let me turn down the radio. Let me turn down the radio.
All right.
Yeah. How are you doing?
Doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. And you know, that show, Contender, it rocks.
It's so good.
My boyfriend doesn't even like it.
Whoa.
He's like, it's so violent. I'm like, you don't understand. There's a whole emotional part about the whole show.
Yeah. You think that's violent? What about the serious cornholing his boyfriend gave him earlier in the week? Huh? Call that violence.
Yeah,
that's
very violent. Very violent. Yeah.
This guy's gay. Get rid of him. You find a nice straight guy.
You know what?
Who likes the contender.
Who likes the contender. Listen, there's not a straight man alive that wouldn't love this show.
Well,
and I include you in that group, Jer.
Ding, ding, ding. I think you're right.
All right.
So what's the deal?
The deal is I've had 4 back surgeries in this past year.
For what?
And got hurt at work. I ruptured a disc, and then it re-ruptured 6 weeks later.
Mm-mm.
And then basically another disc had deteriorated over that time, and so they decided to do a fusion. And so blah, 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 blah.
What do you do? Are you a longshoreman? What are you doing?
No, I work for... an attorney who was about 4'2", and we were painting the office. Okay, long story short, we're painting the office, and the little editor is outside, and he's like, oh, that's okay. I'll hold the chair, a rolling chair, straight out of a bad OSHA movie.
You fell off the chair?
Oh, I was passing the files down, and of course, and I fell on my butt.
You're 25, though. You're supposed to be able to take that.
Yeah, you fell out of scaffolding when you were 23 with a saw or something.
Oh,
right?
I'm not going to tell every horrible story of my horrible life. But, yeah, when I work construction, I used to fall out of windows and stuff.
I'm a little fragile, I guess.
Let me tell you my theory about stuff with this. I don't say everyone has to get hit with a beer bottle and not sue. I should sue everyone, starting with my parents. And then I go to the L.A. Unified School District and I sue them. I should just be suing everybody. Drew, I should be suing you as well. I really should. Yeah. But here's the point. You know, sometimes people get rear-ended and there's no damage done to the car, but the guy claims he can't walk, he can't turn his head. That, to me, just means you're defective. And you can't sue if you're defective. You know what I mean? Like, if you're a young person and you trip on a cord and fall down in a hallway that's carpeted and you claim you can never work again, you're defective. Maybe you can get $10 from the person that left the cord there, but we can't have people that are defective getting, you know what I mean? You're defective part. You should see what happened to Ishe in the ring. He should be suing the Latin snake, Sergio.
He's gone.
Okay. But I just mean, if look, he's a tuned athlete, but if people, you know what the human body is capable of putting up with.
Or young ones.
The young people, yes, and these stupid people claim they can never work again after, their chair tips back and falls back in the office. I mean, come on. All right, I'm going to yell at Jennifer. Is that Jennifer we're talking to? Mm-hmm. Jennifer.
Okay, so let me defend myself for a second. I went on a 4-year full ride scholarship, so I'm not just some fragile little like weak person who's defective or genetically defective. I've had a very strong family. Mm-hmm. I just took a pretty hard fall on my big old tush. Mm-hmm. Well, not big old tush, but but anyways, long story short, I'm at the 1-year mark of having the 4 surgeries, and the doctor says, "You look a little sad. I'm going to put you on Lexapro," and I'm like, "Okay," and he just puts me on it. And then I don't have, like, the brochure that tells you all the
Jennifer,
side
Jennifer,
stuff.
Every single aspect of your story is people doing things to you. Mm-hmm. That you're sort of helpless and all these things are being done unto you. Mm-hmm. And all these
you
horrible things
sad.
Happen.
You should be put on this drug.
Yeah.
Quite honestly, though, Dr. Drew, I am kind of getting depressed. Because
yeah, but you really have a whole victim role you play. And that means you must have been victimized more seriously earlier in your life.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, I knew you were going to go with that aspect of it. But I am going into a deeper depression.
I understand that. But this this victim survivor stuff needs to be looked into. Okay. So anyway, you're getting depressed, and
Were you victimized earlier in life?
No, actually, I'm golden. My parents are still together. Right. Very supportive in sports and school. Right. Always there. Just didn't have that crazy uncle or grandpa or babysitter or anything like that. But I wish I could tell you. Tell you some story, even though I don't. There's a reason why.
You never had an eating disorder?
An eating disorder?
Yeah.
No, actually, I don't.
Okay.
No, okay. I don't sleep.
Why not?
I'm having a really hard time dealing with the nighttime pain because I still have an extremely amount of chronic pain.
So you're taking pain pills too?
And my lower legs. And my back.
So what's the pain medication you're taking?
There's Norco that I take, and then there's Soma.
Yeah.
She's getting strung out.
Yeah. No, actually, I've done a really good job. There has been a history of addiction, pharmaceutical addiction in my family, and so I've done a really, really good job. Talked to my doctor.
Who was the addict in your family?
My mom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's trauma, Jennifer.
Okay. Having an addict mom is traumatizing.
That's seriously traumatizing.
Okay.
And so to say you're not a trauma survivor is to deny...
Yeah, I was thinking rape, something.
No,
you know,
to deny the circumstances of your life.
Yeah.
And so, look, you're addicted now to opiates, and you're getting depressed. My recommendation, you can go... You're at a crossroads. You can go down the chronic pain path, in which case you're going to get put on increasingly stronger pain medication, and you're... The question we have up here on the board is you have no sex drive. On Norco, you don't have sex drive. On Lexapro, you don't have sex drive. So, of course, these medications, you're not going to have
What's
that.
Norco?
Vicodin. And so...
You got a good football team this year, too.
Indeed.
And Norco is Vicodin, and what's the Lexapran?
Lexapro is a serotonin reuptake inhibitor.
Oh, that's for
Prozac.
All right.
Yeah, so the fact is, my recommendation to you would be to go to an abstinence program, because I treat patients like you all day long, people with back pain. Magically, the pain goes away in 3 weeks off medication.
Yeah, I don't... This is something I don't think people know about, but whenever we talk to people sort of chronic back pain that are on these drugs that are sort of under 40, they end up just being addicts for the most part.
Yeah, now, people understand that the opiates cause severe back pain. You're in sort of a chronic state of withdrawal, and it causes horrible back pain and headaches.
Right, so it's pretty straightforward. It starts off innocently enough. You have some sort of injury, and the doctor gives you the Vicodin, and you take the Vicodin, and I've talked to a lot of people that aren't the drug addict type.
Oh, not at all.
They took a Vicodin, and they're like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yummy.
Yeah.
Where's this been my whole life? And they take a Vicodin, and next thing you know, they start liking the Vicodin, and they have to stay on it for a few weeks because of the injury. And now it's like, well, you're all healed. I'll be taking the Vicodin away from you. And they're like,
Vicodin. They get some withdrawal, and the back pain really kicks in.
Then the back pain.
And now you're done.
Because your body says, we need some more Vicodin. What's going to get us some more Vicodin? A little pain in the back. Now we get some more Vicodin.
Right.
So your body kicks
in. It's really only the addicts, biological, genetic addicts, that do that. That reward system in the addicts learns, let's use a word like learn, learns how to get the reward. Give it pain. You have pain, it gets reward. So it'll give you pain.
Wow.
She sounded great to me. Sounded like she was upbeat about life and everything.
Yeah, she is, superficially, but you understand Norco. Norco can't sleep all night and is depressed and angry.
I'll tell you, Vicodin, one of the few drugs I didn't like.
Oh, he's Vicodin.
You don't like Vicodin. You lose control.
No, it's not the control thing. I actually don't like how I feel. I feel dysphoric.
Really?
Yeah, I feel,
it's a bummer.
Bummer.
I mean, my thing with Vicodin is I feel about Vicodin like I feel like lost in translation. Like it got built up too much, and then I went and I saw it, and I was like, that's not that funny. Phil Murray isn't that fun. Then I'm angry.
Yeah.
Like people have been telling me, dude, you're going to get effed up. And I was all excited for like 5 years before I took my first Vicodin. And then I took a Vicodin, and I was like, Then I thought, well, I better have a beer.
Better get some Dilaudid.
Better get a beer going. See if that just sort of activate things. I gave it a chance. Nothing. All right. Drew, you ready to rock here?
Yeah, let's go.
Ishe, ready to go?
Yes.
Let's talk to Jill, who's 14.
Hello. Jill. Hi, I'm 14, and I lost my virginity to a 29-year-old guy.
Hey, Jill, one quick second. I want to just say one last word to Jennifer. I wrote a book about this called When Painkillers Become Dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
It's about OxyContin. You can get it online. It's When Painkillers Become Dangerous, and read a little bit about how we approach the chronic pain issue.
Now, should she buy the book, or can she just read some excerpts online?
She has
online?
To buy it.
She's just read some stuff online.
I don't think it is online.
Well, get it from the library.
There you go, library.
Yeah. Is it at the library?
I imagine.
Jill?
Yeah.
So, Jill, you're 14.
Yeah. And, I gave consent and everything, and I wanted to, and I told him I was 18. And so I'm like, is this going to mess me up later on, or?
You had sex with, the guy was how old?
29.
Who is he to you?
I just met him. I was at some party, and I just met
him. Liar, whore, and you know it.
Had you had sex ever before?
No.
That was your first sexual experience?
Yeah.
And the guy's 29?
Yeah.
Did you use protection?
Yeah.
What'd you use?
Gym sock.
Condom.
Hey, Jill.
Uh-huh.
So your question is, and this happened how long ago?
5 months ago.
All right, so your question is this going to scar you emotionally?
Mm-hmm.
Well, here
it's going to affect you.
Well,
it's more what is going on already that you decided this was a good idea.
It's a cumulative effect. You sound depressed already.
Yeah.
So what's up? How's the family doing?
They're just divorced. I mean, it's just a divorce. It's not bad.
your family's divorced. Are you doing okay in school?
All right.
You just sound depressed.
You sound very depressed.
Do you have friends?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, baby. And what do you want to be when you grow up? An auctioneer?
I don't really care.
Air traffic controller.
Air traffic controller. Yeah, she'd be great. Air traffic. 0-2-9-er.
Descend and maintain.
We got a bogey coming out of the one ounce. It's approaching your craft's 400 knots. It's at 5,000 yards and 4,000. impact imminent. Grab some lunch. Yeah. Oh, let's get some foam on the runway. Can we get some foam, please? Oh, and I have a Diablo sandwich and a Sprite, too. Yeah. All right. It's so sad, but it's sad to hear everyone so depressed, especially at like 14. Like, what do you want to do when you're older? I don't care. Mm. I mean, at least, you know, want to be a fireman or school teacher or nurse or something, even if you're not going to be that. Yeah. At least have a dream at 14, yeah?
Yeah.
I'm gonna whip her up. Jill?
Yeah.
Let's go, baby. You're 14.
Could it be because I was, like, overweight when I was a kid and, like, everyone hated me or...
Yeah, so yeah, a little low self-esteem.
Yeah, certainly.
But here's the thing, Jill. You live in America.
Yep, something to be thankful for.
Greatest country in the world, with, you know, possibility of Canada. But I'd say it's better in Canada. This is the greatest country in the world. You're in one piece. You have no disabilities. You have use of all your limbs and everything. Let's go. You can do whatever you want. Let's break it down. Let's get a hand in now. You know what I'm saying?
Take a knee.
Let's go. Let's take a knee. Gentlemen, that helmet is not a chair. Grab a knee. I don't like it when you sat on your helmets. You know why?
Actually,
not a chair.
I'm actually taking Zoloft, but I don't take it like how I'm supposed to.
Right, why'd you start doing that?
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. I want to give everyone a pep talk here because I come from a poor, depressed, crappy family who just all they did was sit around and let life happen to them. You know, just get kicked around. That's all. Just waiting for a lot of people just sit around waiting for something bad to happen to them. Mm-hmm. But in general, Drew, you don't know this. You don't know about losers. Mm. Losers, they're depressed. They don't know they can do anything. They just sort of wait around until bad things happen
to
them.
But so much of what people allow in their lives is stuff that they create.
Yes.
When you're a loser, you expect to be a loser. You make loser things happen.
You make other people around you losers.
Yes.
Because you're a loser.
Yes. You create whole new generations of losers. That's what my family tried to do, but it didn't work.
I broke out.
Now I'm free, and they can't stop me. Thank God none of them listen to the show. Oh, would they be angry?
But if they did, you'd tell them what your condition is in.
I really would. But here's the thing. You know, everyone focuses on whatever it is they don't have. But if you really think about it, you're living in a time where you get to live till 85. You don't get killed by a flu when you're 17 years old. You know what I mean?
Right.
You're living in a time when and in a place where you can do whatever you want to do. Yes. You know, think about all the times in history where if you were a certain religion, a certain color, a certain sex, a certain something.
You live in a different country right now.
Right now. There are many countries where, hey, if you're a chick, you're screwed. You can't do anything. If you're a certain religion, you're screwed. You're just fighting for your life. You can't do anything. You're living in a country. You're living in a time. You can do whatever you want. That's it. You have resources. You have institutions in place. You can do whatever you want. You're able-bodied. You're able-minded. Let's go. Don't squander it. That's all. And by the way, you got another 70 years. Let's make them good ones.
And zip it up.
You're
14.
Yeah.
God, I mean, what happened to the days when it used to be sacred?
Oh, just sex?
Don't give it up that easy. Make them work or something.
And here's the other thing, too. I agree with Ishe. A little road work, hit the bag, and then maybe get some sex. Turn the guy out. We'll take ourselves a little break. Ishe Smith here tonight from The Contender. Best show on TV. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Ishe Smith is here tonight from The Contender. Great, great show. Watch it this Sunday. Oh, man. What's coming up this Sunday?
It's good stuff. Good drama.
Yeah? Who's fighting? Oh, you can't say. Can't tell us.
They can't tell you.
Oh, it's good. It's exciting. And here's the thing.
How can you get mad at me when I save him from that one?
I know he couldn't tell us. I knew he couldn't tell us. Everyone left in the house is, I mean, I don't care who fights who. It's going to be exciting.
It's
going to be good. Guys, kids, and dads, and everyone's crying. There's more crying on that show than there is on a daytime Latin soap. These guys bawling their eyes. Everyone getting emotional. I don't think a lot of camaraderie between the guys, too.
What did you think of number one daddy?
Oh, that guy.
Basante.
Anthony.
Anthony's kind of an a-hole. of the whole group. And Anthony does the same crap Drew does, which is, hey, man, I got to protect my family. I got to do what's best for him. And so they get to do stuff that makes everyone think they're an a-hole. You see what I'm saying? Now, Drew, you know what I'm talking about, which is you only do it a little bit. But some of these guys do this thing where they got a couple of kids, and so every single thing they do, even if it's an a-hole move,
right,
it's just all about they. No one ever argues with them because they go, look, I got two kids at home, and those two, at the end of the day, I got to go home to those two kids, and I got to provide a roof over their head and whatever. Meanwhile, he's kind of an idiot, this guy. Hmm. At least that's how it's coming across. Mm-hmm. Now, he did have a pretty good fight, and he looked pretty strong in his fight, but it was against a guy who was...
Yeah, he wasn't supposed to fight.
He wasn't supposed to fight. It was a little untested, and oh, yeah. I mean, there's a little backstabbing going on, but yeah, he's one of these guys that keeps saying, you know, I feed my kids, and I'm looking out for me, and he's kind of an idiot. Yeah, but it's
that
just
describes me, right?
It's just no. But not you know quite. What I'm, you know what I'm talking about. It's the same, but it's the same thing, which is you need that guy in the house. We had a whole bunch of guys like Isha. You just have a bunch of nice guys walking around beating the crap out of each other.
Right. You know? like any house.
No, but I'll tell you, there's nothing better than when this guy is getting into the ring and his own team, because they broke him up into East and West at the beginning. His old team is wanting him to lose. Mm. Because they're PO'd at him. I mean, that makes for a little drama.
Yeah. I surely wanted him to lose.
Yeah. He doesn't seem, he's got a lot of heart
in that.
And he seems pretty strong, but I just wonder if his skills are good enough to take him to the very top of the mountain.
Keep watching drama.
Yeah.
Drama.
All right. Veronica? Veronica, 16?
Yeah.
What's up?
I'm a C cup, and I'm still growing.
Right.
And like, I was wondering, like maybe down the line, if I should get like a breast reduction. Mm-hmm. Like my mom doesn't think I should get it, but like, I don't know.
Why in the world are you worrying about that now?
I don't know, cause my cousin, she's like, well, this was a while ago. She was 16, and she was like already a double D, and I was like,
okay,
whoa.
That's because she was a double D,
right?
Yeah. She was 16. You're a C.
Yeah. But I'm still growing.
Right. But you're not a double D.
But you don't. First off, everyone's still growing at 16 for the most part, and then you could stop tomorrow.
Right. Relax. It's all right.
Yeah.
But why are you so obsessed about this kind of thing?
I'm not obsessed. I just like, I don't know.
Usually, when they get a reduction, they go down to a C. So there you are. You're right where you want to be.
Where? How big's the rest of you? How's that doing?
I'm pretty good, I guess. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Are you not liking the way other women are treating you, or the way your boys are looking at you, or what's the problem?
Well, my boy situation right now is kind of like weird. I don't know.
What's
boys
wrong?
Are weird.
Yes. Yeah.
What's up? What are they doing?
Well, there's this boy that like I was kind of seeing, but not really. We weren't really dating, but we hooked up every now and then he started to get like really weird. And now, like, he won't even answer his phone anymore, and, like, he quit his job.
All right, so get away from him. Sounds like a pain.
And by the way, you get the reduction, and that's it with you and him. Yeah. All right. Any other non-questions you don't want to ask us?
No.
Now, what's hooked up? Did you sleep with him, or you kissed? You said you wasn't with him, but you hooked up with him.
No, I actually gave him, like, head twice.
Twice? Wow. Same night?
Huh?
Because that's a trooper. I can't do that anymore.
Remember the girl we talked to last
night? I think I'm going to do it. I always announce two times. But then after the first one, it's like, all right, TiVo.
Remember the girl we talked to last night who was getting naked with these guys? And
oh, my God. Isha, you wouldn't believe what's going on out there today.
This is amazing.
It's amazing.
She's giving head at 16. I'm
oh, my God.
Old maid.
Oh, there's nothing. Please. This is what they do in Finn. They teach you this in finishing school now. Veronica.
Yeah.
All right, reel it in. No, BJ, no boob job.
Yeah. If you want to have a boyfriend, go start dating someone.
No BJ.
Someone.
No BJ.
Okay.
No BJ.
Hey,
Drew, is there sexual transmitted disease through blowjobs?
Oh,
sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Sure.
So you should think about that. You're only 16. Yeah. You should enjoy life.
Chlamydia of the throat or something?
I think it's the same thing. Yeah, I got pink eye. I gave this chick something. Come on, Drew. Don't make me bust out.
She flung her panties at you.
That's what happened. Yeah. Here's the thing. Yeah. 16. Reel it in. Find yourself a nice guy. What do you want? What's healthy? What's healthy in high school?
It's not healthy to have sex under 17. I'm
17. Yeah, it was 18 a few years ago for you. You moved it down.
Yeah, 18, I'd like to see it when we wait till 18 because it just bonds people together the way they can't manage. I see this all the time.
Okay, but then if you're a girl and you have sex with somebody and it's your boyfriend in high school, aren't you guys bonded?
Yes.
I mean, because
it's going to be hard. That's going to be a relationship that if you were 25 would have lasted about 2 months, but right. Now it's going to last like 7 years.
So if you, for your own family, if your kids are bonding this way as seniors in high school and they have a good person, it's been 6 or 8 months, they're intimate, would you want them to go to the same college?
No.
You want them to break it up?
Yeah.
That's enough. They should bond with others in college.
They need to figure out who they are in a relationship. Dating. They have to go out and figure out what they want from another person, what other people are like, how they exist, how they fit with other people.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, it's weird because once you get that locked-in thing in high school, sometimes once you bring it outside of high school, it's just on.
Yeah.
You get married, you go to the same college, you do whatever, boom, you have a kid. It's just, there's a weird critical, like, 14 months there between 16 and a half and 18 or something like that where you can get locked in with somebody, oftentimes the wrong person.
It never works,
and it just keeps going, and it's just in. It's just on.
So you're bonded to somebody that you hadn't had a chance to evaluate.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Nor evaluate from the perspective of who you are going to be. Because you're going to be a different person at 24 than 18.
You would almost be, you'd be better off like quarantining your kids from 16 and a half to 19.
That's what I'm going to do.
Quarantine.
Your house.
All right. I'll put them in the bunker. I got to get some work out of them though.
Oh, they could be like librarians of your porn bunker.
Yeah.
The keepers.
Yeah, like filing.
Cataloging. It takes years to set that thing up right.
That little
shoot, you know, like at the Nike store, the little thing, those little pneumatic tube that sends the porn up when you dial it in.
They're pushing carts up and down the aisles. Yes. I come down there.
Oh, they're white suits.
Mr. Carolla, we did the big jug porn alphabetically. I said by areola size! And I slap them, and they'll fall down on the ground, and they cry, and I stomp up. I slam the door.
The little motorized electrical trams.
Yeah, they got to get around with the trams. Yeah, it's like
white jumpsuits.
It's the basement of the Smithsonian.
It's going to all look like Captain Evil's lair.
Yeah. Yeah, and I put in work for 3 years.
Oh, they'll have a good time. So much to do.
No, I'll feed them. They get plenty of exercise.
Evo once in a while.
Yeah, I'll throw them a bone. All right, where are we, Drew? Oh, yeah, we're speaking to Nick over here. Do we answer? Oh, shit.
Yeah. No question.
Okay. Nick.
Hello? Hey.
You're 20.
Yep.
You watch The Contender?
Oh, yeah, hardcore.
Yeah,
I don't miss a minute of it either. And I was a huge fan of Ishii.
Yeah,
I was a huge fan, man. I was behind you 110%, especially when he fought Ahmed. I was behind you totally.
Yeah, Ahmed was talking smack.
Oh yeah,
and Ishii was the only one to step up. The other guys were scared of him because he was a good looking fighter.
Yeah, and it was a great fight. Up. I mean, awesome. I was really hoping you would win, but my question is. A lot of times before your fight, I saw you praying with your wife and stuff, and I wanted to know how much of your faith or how much of your religion goes into your boxing, and how much does that affect your boxing and stuff?
For me, it's everything, but you know, for some Christians, they're very critical on what I do. You know, Christians sometimes could be the most critical people as non-Christians. So, you know, they tend to want to tear people down sometimes for what I do. I just do what I do.
What's their complaint? They didn't like you praying?
Well, they don't think that I should be a boxer if I believe in God. And that's their major complaint. How can you be in God and you go out there and you hitting somebody? Well, it's the sport. I love to do it. And I'm going to be the same guy I am. I'm not going to stop praying because I'm a fighter. And that
it plays a big role into me and my family and my wife and my son. And, you know, we have a good time. And we just happen to be Christians, and just happens to be my job.
And I know there's a sports prayer etiquette where you can't say, come on, God, let me win. Seriously, you got to do that pray no one gets hurt thing. Mm.
I don't pray for the guy when I fight him.
You know?
No.
But you pray. But you want nobody to get hurt.
No,
don't
I don't
you?
Want no. Well, I say, God, protect me.
Oh, you don't want to protect us.
Oh, I don't
see,
know.
That's cheating now.
No, wait a minute.
That's unfair.
I didn't know Christianity was a pacifist.
Hmm?
I didn't realize Christianity was necessarily pacifistic.
It's not.
I mean,
no,
you gotta go out. I mean, the Pope used to go around and kick ass.
Yeah.
Hundreds and hundreds of years.
Well, yeah. He had nunchucks.
But I mean, what? I understand why they're coming after you.
Well, I just think it's more critical for Christians. They think, well, you should be this. You shouldn't say a curse word. If you step out of line, they wait till you step out of line until they criticize you.
Yeah.
They're just the most, they're so critical. You just got to be, you got to rock the straight and narrow. You just got to be Christian at all times. Somebody cut you off, you're not supposed to say, hey, what are you doing? You're just supposed to be like, oh, God is protecting me. You're just supposed to be nice at all times, and that's just not how I am.
Yeah. You don't have to take the tire iron to the windshield, though.
No.
Not the way you used to, no.
No, all right. So Nick.
Yeah.
Who are you rooting for now that Ishe's gone?
You know, it's really hard. But I'm actually thinking I'm leaning towards Manfredo Jr.
Oh, really? Because he got kicked. He got kicked out.
He lost. He came back.
He lost. They voted him back. Yeah.
He's showing a lot of heart.
He has a lot of heart. Yeah, he's a good kid. I like Manfredo Jr.
He has a lot. Yeah. What is he? What's his nationality, Manfredo Jr.?
Because he's Italian.
He is. It's weird. It's
personally,
weird
I'm rooting for an Alfonso. I think Alfonso is the heart and soul of the contender, and I like him a lot.
Alfonso's a Mexican fighter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's good. And, you know, I got to tell I like Sergio, too.
Yeah, Sergio's a great guy.
Yeah.
Funny guy. He's a good guy. I love Sergio. Sergio, Alfonso are my two favorite.
Yeah, a lot of everybody. And then there's the number one daddy guy. We don't need to see him. But then it'll be sad if he loses and his kids are crying. Oh, these guys, they bring their kids. There's a 5-year-olds and daddy's getting a can of whoop ass opened on him, and these kids are like, yeah, dad. Yeah, but you know what? After the fight, the dad's always, nah, I'm fine. And the kid's like, all right. Yeah. Your kids were at the fight, right?
Yeah, my kid is great.
Did it freak him out?
No, it was kind of hard because I didn't know he came in and said, daddy, are you okay? So when I seen it, I was like, I was contemplating not letting him watch it. Because I didn't want him to see me losing, you know, so because he don't understand. But I didn't know he came in the locker room and said, daddy, are you okay? So that kind of touched me a little bit.
Right.
And he did that.
Yeah. I'll tell you, tears rolling down people's eyes. Sweat, blood, and tears.
What do you guys
You're
think?
You're gay.
What do you guys think of the attorney boxer, Joey?
Oh, Joey, the guy whose dad came back from Iraq?
Mm-hmm.
He was this guy who's like a collegiate boxer, and he was like 8-0
or
something.
He
thinks he's a real boxer or something. But here's the deal: they put him in with Jimmy Lang,
yeah,
Jimmy Lang, who was a guy that everyone was sort of scared of. He was a pro. He was like 24 and 1. He had a good looking, you know, left hook, and it sort of impressed everybody in the gym. And this guy who was sort of the amateur of the group, and no one's really an amateur, but out of all the guys, this would have been the guy with the least experience.
Weakest
link in terms of experience.
Exactly.
Put him in with the guy that everyone was scared of, and he ended up winning the fight. Hmm. So now it's hard to tell. Well, did he somehow just have a good fight, or was the other guy overrated?
It was tough. We were all shocked he beat Jimmy.
Yeah, so now, and he's a strong guy.
Yeah, he's
in great
strong.
Shape, and he's strong. It's a 5-round fight, and a lot of your strength and conditioning comes into play, and he's got a ton of heart with his dad there and his full naval, you know, dress blues. So, that's why it's kind of anyone's thing.
Well, he's a spokesperson for Stallone's products now, so maybe we should.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, we should get that looked into.
What? What is it, like hair dye tank tops? What's he selling?
He's selling Instone, some supplement. Lunch.
Oh, yeah? Mm-hmm. All right, true. Look into that.
Good times.
We'll FDA will pull that off the market anytime now. We'll take a quick break. Ishe Smith is here from The Contender. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Ishe Smith here tonight from The Contender. Sunday nights, 8 o'clock, NBC. Fantastic show. Sly's on there. Sugar Ray doing some wooden VO work, though, by the way. Does a wood, yeah. He acts about as good as you do.
Wait to hear the VO on my show.
Oh, really? Sugar's a very deliberate speaker, but he's a boxer, Drew. What's your excuse?
The doctor.
Oh, please.
Similar excuse.
49, looking good. Sly, 59, looking brand new. Brand new.
Spanking new.
Spanking new, wearing, you know, tight shirts and smelling of aqua velva. Looking ready to go. And, what's your trainer's name?
My trainer's name is Joe Goosen.
Oh, Joe Goosen's your trainer.
Yeah, we just acquired him, and we're out in California training, getting ready for the finale.
Now, how do you know Joe Goosen, Adam?
Well, he's a pretty famous trainer. Yeah. Plus, he's a local North Hollywood guy. Ah. I grew up in North Hollywood.
The real Main Streets.
Yeah, Main Streets of NoHo, baby. Keeping it real. Yeah, and there's like 3,000 Goosens. I played football with like a Goosen cousin at Valley College. And Joe Buffo or something. I think that guy's name has got to be 400, 500 pounds by now.
Wow.
Yeah. Goosen, his kids fought. One of them got like brain damage or something, had a stroke.
His brother was a catcher for baseball. His other brother is a promoter. He has a real, his other brother's an attorney. He has a real successful family.
Yeah.
They've done a lot of stuff.
Yeah, sons fought. I think one of them had a stroke or something, yeah, though, and it's not quite right.
Dude.
Courtney?
Yeah.
You're 20?
Yes.
What's up?
Well, I missed my period this month, so I took a pregnancy test. And it came up negative, and I was wondering what else it could be, if it could be a false negative, or do I need to go to the doctor? Could something be wrong with me?
You should definitely go to the doctor. Have you never missed a period before?
Back when I was like 15 and 16.
At the beginning.
Yeah. When
people miss periods very, very commonly, but if you're normally terribly regular, then sure, you ought to have it checked out. There are all kinds of reasons that that can happen. I mean, the more common things are pregnancy, obviously, medication, changes in your diet, weight loss, ovarian cyst. There's many, many reasons. But get it checked out and get a more definitive pregnancy test, perhaps, too.
Okay. All right, thank you.
All right there, baby doll. Good luck with
good times.
Good luck with them parts. The trainer on the show, Tommy, is it Tommy Gallagher?
Tommy Gallagher, yeah.
Yeah, great character. Met him.
Oh.
Yeah, met him at Gleason's in New York when we were doing a man show bit.
Huh.
He was my trainer in the boxing bit.
Wow, weird.
Yeah, he's a total character. He's got wears a hat all the time. Thinks he's 25. It's awesome. Michael?
Yeah.
You're 23?
Yes, I am.
You're in the Army?
I got out Sunday. I just recently got out of the military.
Wow.
All right, that's good. Now what?
When I first got back from Iraq, I started seeing this girl, and we dated on and off because there was a lot of stuff that happened back and forth, and we decided to be friends, and we wound up getting really close and we're really good friends, and I love hanging out with her and I love joking with her, but now she's getting ready to go to Iraq during the next rotation, and she posed a question to me because a lot of our friends were doing contract marriages. To do a contract marriage with me, and
whoa! What's a contract marriage?
Okay,
you get married, and then a few years later, you put a contract down on your wife and have her killed, and you collect the insurance.
But
she's going to do the same to you, makes it exciting. You got to have the excitement through the passion.
Oh, that's the next show.
Keeping it fresh.
The contract.
Well, what I mean by contract marriage is, in the military, what a lot of people do is because you get extra benefits, you get extra money if you're. If you're married, plus while you're deployed, you get, like, separation pay on top of combat pay.
You get more money.
Exactly.
Right. You rape the taxpayer.
Right.
Thank you.
Appreciate
that. Fantastic. That's me paying for that, by the way. I'm paying for all of that. Yeah. All right, but are you in love with her?
The reason we wound up breaking up is because I was leaving the military and I was getting ready to go to college because I finally finished my commitment. I did my tour in Iraq. I'm ready to go to college and move on.
Mm-hmm.
And we broke up not really wanting to break up because I was leaving. And I think a lot of it has to do that she didn't really want to see me go. And now that, you know, she's getting ready to leave Iraq, she wants to know that we're still going to be something.
I don't know.
Yeah, wait, Michael, I can tell you're BSing. You're sort of intellectualizing because we can't follow you.
Right, but you're not that into her.
But yeah, but she's into him.
All right.
That's why it's all a bunch of explanations.
You're 23. It's time for you to grow your hair out, hit the campus, and see what you can scrape up in the civilian department.
I think she's trying to lock you into something. It really does.
Yeah. Michael, it's what we talked about earlier in the show. You guys gave it a couple of rounds. Yeah. It didn't really work out. You're 23. You're going to college.
And I'm not saying she's trying to trap you in a marriage necessarily, but she's trying to keep you in her life. And this is a great way to do it.
Right. Get yourself and look, guys. You know you're out of the military. You're going to go to college. You're going to meet tons of women in college. That's why you go to college, to meet chicks.
What was
right,
your famous
Phil?
Statement? It was college is a brothel with a football team and a bell tower.
That's what it is. It's just tons of good looking people your age who are sort of trapped together in a dorm. You have to have sex. It's awesome. I could only imagine what went on at college. Well, I mean, you went to a stupid college where people were smart.
Yeah.
that's dumb. You should have went to San Diego State or U of A or one of these schools where lots of dumb people wear tight
tears.
Shorts. Yeah, you went to
humanity.
Where'd you go? Amherst, snowy, smart chicks.
All right, we're going to break.
Smart, fat, smart chicks. Oh, everyone, angry lesbians. No, Drew. You send your kids to San Diego State. Let them have a good time.
I'll be jealous.
Yeah. We'll take us a quick break. EJ Smith here from the Contender. We'll be right back after this. Well, that's the show, everybody. I want to thank EJ Smith for coming in here tonight from the Contender. You know, we always have people on, and whatever show they're from, I do. That's my favorite show.
No, this was the most excited I've ever seen you.
Excited. Yeah. Great show. It's a great show, and it,
Except the Family Guy.
I love the Family Guy, but that's a comedy. This is life, baby. This is not animation. This is real life. And it's
and
just
a little claymation here.
And a little claymation worked in with Sly's face. And the rest is, and it's just getting more exciting.
Yeah.
It really is. It's now on. So check it out. And when the time comes to do some voting, vote for our good friend Ishe and get him in. And get him a little cash for him and his kitties, and get him in on the undercard of the big night, because everyone wants to see Ishe fight again. Two great fights so far.
Cool.
Nice to meet you, Ishe.
It was a pleasure coming in.
We'll take a little break, and until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.